Greet each one in the name of Jesus this morning. Thankful to be here and to worship with you. Been blessed already this morning as we looked into the Word of God. And I'm thankful that Christ did rise from the dead. There is a resurrection. If it wasn't for that, there would be no reason to be here and to be in this service this morning. For a message this morning, I'd like to look at, my title is two words, let us. We know that little phrase is used a lot in the Bible. And we just like to have the message in 5 points. This phrase, let us, is something that we use today. It's a phrase that includes maybe not only myself, but more of a group or more than one person. And so just thinking about that this morning, as a church, we're all gathered here together this morning. We can look at this in a personal way. We can look at this in a collective way, thinking of working together and moving forward in our Christian life and being what God wants us to be. No one is excluded. It's for everyone. Let us, that phrase speaks of action. Something is to happen. We are to be doing something. And so my first point this morning I'd like to look at is let us worship. We'd like to think about worship. We're here this morning to worship the Lord in a collective way. We're here to worship because God is here. God is in our hearts. God is here. God needs our worship. Turn with me to Psalm 95. I'd like to read a couple verses there. Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Down in verse 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Worship. Talking about worship. Let's go to Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 40 and 41. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. And we could look at Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. All these verses that I read talk about worship, singing, making a joyful noise, coming into the presence of God, worshiping, bowing down, letting God search us. Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Let's lift our hearts to God, to the God in the heavens. Let us offer the sacrifices of God, sacrifices of praise to God continually. So this morning we're called to worship. Let us worship. My daughter is over in Bangladesh right now. And in their flight on the way over there, they were flying with Emirates Airlines. So it's a Muslim airline. And they had a 12-hour flight. And in the back of that plane, they had a prayer mat where the Muslims could go to and they could kneel on this prayer mat. And it also had a screen that would tell them which direction they were to bow, to know where Mecca was. And I had to think about that in relation to our worship this morning. I'm so thankful that we know where God is. We don't have to have a screen to tell us where God is. We don't have to go to a specific spot to pray to God and to worship God, but that we know where God is. God is here. God is with us. And we can pray to Him anywhere, anytime, any place, any direction, and we can find God. So this morning, as we think of worship, worship is, when we come into the presence of God, it's an attitude of, we need to have an attitude of reverence, an attitude of adoration. Worship is a choice. It's a condition of our heart. When our heart is filled with worship, there will be an outward expression. There will be outward results of our worship coming from our lives. With the attitude of worship, like it said in Lamentations 3, verse 40, we will allow God to search us. And isn't that one reason to worship? We're opening up our heart to God, and we want God to speak to us in our worship and allow Him to search our heart so that we can draw closer to Him. We can be the person that God wants us to be. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, this was the Jesus' encounter with the woman of Samaria. In verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. For salvation, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. This morning is your worship because, are you here because of your salvation experience? Are you here because you want to worship God, because of what God has done for you in your heart? The Father seeketh such to worship Him. God wants our worship. God wants that relationship with us. He created each one of us, and He didn't create us just for something to do. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to work with us. He wants us to be a channel, like we sang about in that song, that God can use to be messengers for Him. And so I'm just blessed with that thought that God would use such frail humans, man of failure, prone to fail, to be messengers for Him. Unless we enter into worship with the right spirit and worship Him sincerely, there's no worship in our souls. Worship comes from a genuine heart. And I believe when we come to God with a genuine heart, then there's positive results in our lives and in the lives of others. I came across this quote. It's called The Tide. A rowboat in the sand is hard to move, but when the tide comes in, it is easy. The church is like that. When genuine worship is absent from the church, she struggles to do her work. But when the tide of praise uplifts her heart, everything goes better. And I like that thought. You know, when we are in an attitude of worship, that we lift up our hearts to God and allow God to work with us, that our lives go smoother. So when you think of worship, true worship, sincere worship to God, it strengthens us. It gives us the power to face the enemy. It gives us the power to face the daily pressures and the responsibilities that life brings to us. So when we worship, we take the focus off of ourselves and we place our worship, our focus, our attention to God, and He lifts the weight, the burden that we have. And we can think of Matthew chapter 11, familiar verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus invites us to come to Him, to worship Him, and bring our cares, our burdens to Him. And He will give us rest in our hearts. Worship brings peace. It brings rest. The next point I'd like to look at is let us love one another. We can turn to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Let us love one another, for God is love. We're called here to love one another. God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God. We're born again. If we have a love like God loved us, there's been a change in our heart that's not natural to us, to love in that way. But as we are born again and we recognize God's love for us, we in turn are to love one another. A love for God's word, a love for each other. As we apply those principles to our lives, to our everyday living, it's the glue that bonds us together. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So John just brings out the thought of the sincerity of loving each other. Our love should not only be a lip expression, but a love that's in action. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke has a thought of stirring up or calling forth or encouragement to each other. Let us therefore, Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So as we endeavor to love each other, as a church endeavors to seek and maintain peace, first in our own hearts, and as brother and sister, between us and our Heavenly Father, then the results from that will be edification, be an encouragement to each other. And that's a blessing, that's a privilege that we have as being part of a brotherhood. Even though that can be tested at times. But we are to provoke each other unto love, edify each other, encourage each other in the things that we face. How interested am I in the spiritual mountains and valleys that my brother or sister may be facing? Do I really care? Am I concerned for the things that they may be facing. It's a question that I have to ask myself. Do I care enough for the brothers and sisters that are facing their valley experiences, to be there to help them where I can, to edify? And that's not only for the leaders of your church, but it's for each one of us to build each other up and encourage each other in the things of God. Let's turn to Jude, verse 1. Or Jude, verse 20. But ye beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments of the spotted by the flesh. Now unto you that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen. Thought of building up and encouraging as a brotherhood. Let us love one another. Another quote I had come across: we must not only watch ourselves, but we are bound to stir up and to strengthen and encourage one another. We are not only to be careful about our own comforts and welfare, but to promote the comfort and welfare of others. We would be encouraged to do that as we relate together. Point number 3 that I had under let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let us personally come boldly to the throne of grace that God has provided for us. Let us as a church come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I like the thought of coming to the throne of grace. It speaks of prayer, I believe. Communication with God. To come boldly to the throne of grace, it takes humility, doesn't it? To recognize my need of God, that I need your help, Lord. And when we, in humility, come to God, we can have the confidence, the courage. That word boldly gives a thought of courage with confidence. We can come to him in faith that our needs can be met, and that we can find the courage and the strength from our Heavenly Father. He wants to give us that. He's telling us here to come to him through this, to this throne of grace. When we come to the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence, with faith, then we can understand God. We can understand his mercy. We can better understand and accept what God maybe brings into our life, into our experience. Gives us the power to work through those things. Grace is something that none of us deserve. It's only a favor that God wants to give us, to each one of us. Grace, I like this thought that, I'm not sure where I came across this, but it was something that I had come across and I'd written in my Bible. Grace is like water. It settles in the lowest spot. So you know how you take water and it'll always find, if you pour it out on the floor or pour it out on a place that's uneven, the lowest spot is where it'll accumulate. And I really like that thought of God's grace. You know, there's times in life that we face a low time in our life, but God's grace finds its way into those low spots, and it's there for us. Whether we deserve it or not, it's for us, and we can claim that. This morning, you and I are recipients of that grace. And why is that? It's because of God's love and God's mercy for mankind. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's grace is available to all of us. It's not just a chosen few, but it says here to all men. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we were born. It doesn't matter what our nationality is. It hath appeared to all men. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I'm sorry, I wanted verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So, thinking of coming to God, coming boldly to the throne of grace, this verse says here, let us draw near. I believe that's talking about drawing near to God with a true heart. In full assurance of faith, coming to God in faith. And we can experience that cleansing in our lives, our bodies washed with pure water. Next point I had was, let us be faithful. Let us be faithful. And that's verse 23 is what I wanted. I'll read that verse again. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. We are to hold fast this relationship that we have with God. You know, our tendency is to, our faith to, is to waver. We find ourselves in a situation, a difficult time, and we wonder where God is, and we start questioning God. He says, let us hold fast, let us claim it, let us hang on to it, to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let's not forget that. God is faithful. And he promised to be faithful. And we can claim those promises. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Call to faithfully living for God. Stay focused on who God is, what God wants from us. You know, there's so many things to call for our attention, to attract us to something other than following God, or could we say distract us from God. But we need to hold fast, stay faithful to God. Luke 9:62. Let's turn to that verse. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We know what happens when a person's plowing and he's not keeping his eye on some type of a marker out front, staying focused on looking forward. And he decides to look to one side or to the left or look to the back. We can see it in his furrow, can't we? It's not straight. You know, and the same thing can happen in our spiritual lives. When we take our focus off of the marker, off of God, we start losing heart. We start looking at the attractions of the world around us. We start blaming others for my situation. We start getting off a course. What does Jesus say? Here he says, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He says we're not fit for the kingdom of God. How is our focus this morning as we think about being faithful? Do we keep our eyes on Christ, on the mark? May God give us that strength to do that. A burning desire to be faithful. To keep on the right course so that our furrow is straight. An unwavering faith that helps us to keep living. Living for God, no matter what comes. No matter what temptations the enemy brings to us to distract us from serving God. The hard times that we can stay focused on God. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap. Rewards, blessing, if we continue on being faithful. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those that are the household of faith. Life is full of good and noble things to do. Maybe sometimes it seems like we're overwhelmed. There's so much things that we could be involved in. Is it really worth it? I understand your church is planning to start an outreach. There's a lot of effort that gets put into that. Meetings and figuring a lot of things out. I'm sure your church is involved in a lot of different activities. We get busy, and it's good to be busy in the Lord's work. Let's be faithful in the responsibility that God has placed in front of us. Remember, faithfulness will bring rewards and blessings. Hebrews 12:1 says, Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. Lay aside those things that the weights of sin, the burdens that press us down, those things that hinder us from being faithful to God. Put those hindrances aside and look to Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Christ is the key to faithfulness in our walk with God. We know the story of Peter there. As he took his eyes off of Christ, he began to sink. He began to take his, he took his focus off of Christ, and he started to go down into the water. And the same will happen to us in the spiritual sense. We will sink, be overcome by Satan and his program. Maybe be willing to lay these weights at the foot of the cross and let the blood of Christ lift those weights so that we can be effective for God. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. I believe that speaks of faithfulness. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hebrews 4:1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. Let us therefore fear. May we have that reverential fear for our Almighty God. God will be the final judge of our faithfulness. And may we, by God's help, be part of the faithful so that we can enter into the rest that he has for us. Point number 5 that I have is, let us watch. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Thessalonians 5, verse 6 says, Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. In verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for in a helmet the hope of salvation. Let us watch and be sober. Preparedness for the coming of the Lord. Let's be spiritually alert to the signs of his coming. Spiritually alert to, again, the things that distract us from serving God. It says here, let us watch and be sober. I don't believe this means that we need to walk around with a frown on our face and long faces and look miserable. That's not what God wants us to do. But we're to be serious about life, but have expression of joy in our life. The way we live our lives will determine our destination, won't it? Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We don't know when Christ is going to return, do we? No man knows the day nor the hour. People try to predict when Christ is coming. They've done that in the past. But no one knows. We are to watch. Let us watch. We could look at the account of the 10 virgins there in Matthew 25. We won't take the time to read that. They all had their lamps, and they were, some were ready and some weren't, but they had their lamps. But they didn't all have oil in their lamps. So close to being prepared. Almost had it together. They were just missing the oil. But that was a big thing, wasn't it? That was a big ingredient. Lamp without oil is useless. A person with only a lamp has no more light than the one without the lamp. So if we have a lamp this morning, but there's no oil in it, it's no different than the person that doesn't have the lamp. Are there Christians today who only have a lamp? Maybe, could we say, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. How is it with us? Do our lamps have oil in them? 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. It'll come unexpectedly, so we need to watch and be ready. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. One day our Lord will break through the clouds, and time will be no more. Eternity will be reality. The opportunity to prepare will be past. Let's watch. Let us watch and be sober. In conclusion, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So this morning, let us together use the opportunities that we have today to prepare. Let's use these opportunities to be faithful to God, be drawn to God. And let's watch and be sober, be ready for when God comes to take his church home. May God bless you as you continue to faithfully serve God here where he has called you. May God bless you.